Well, the last times we have seen that this decomposition exists. It is substantially unique. And we saw some properties. Four or five important useful properties. One of these properties was that the singular lens, remember that the central matrix sigma has this structure, sigma 1, sigma 2, sigma, this is n by n, n by n. The singular values, sigma sub I, are the eigenvalues of the matrix, the square matrix, A omission by A. So we remarked a deep connection between this decomposition and the spectral decomposition of this square matrix. So it is not strange that the effective computation of the SVD decomposition passes through the spectral problem, the spectral decomposition of that square matrix. So the problem now is, how can SVD effectively computed here you find a sketch of a possible computational procedure in section 450. This computational procedure is the following. First, compute eigenvalues and eigenvectors of this matrix. This can be made without computing this matrix. This can be avoided using a special algorithm due to John and Ramesh. We will not describe this algorithm, which is called bidiagonalization method, which, in a few words, transforms with a unitary transformation this square matrix n by n in a Hermitian 3 by n. Then spectrum and the eigenvectors practice of these methods can be computed with some method. We have not yet seen methods for eigenvalues and vectors of Italian matrices. We will see them later. In about roughly below k by the cube of n plus. This passage, the Gordon-Ranch method, needs be called two n by the square of n flops. Remember this is amount, this computational cost. This is only the first step of this procedure, the computation of the spectrum of this method. So at this point we have that this method can be expressed in terms of diagonal matrix D containing its eigenvalues as usual, and a matrix of eigenvectors Q, Q addition on the other side. At this point, consider the matrix C defined as the product of A by Q. This product must be performed. So we have n by the square of n more flops. Which must be added to the to this partial amount. Then express, factorize better, C as a product Q by R with a pivoting strategy. So this is the pivoted QR factorization of C, of the matrix C. C, remember, has size n by n. QR, we call the matrix the unitary matrix U, and the upper triangular matrix R. Remember that U is has a big size, and R must be rectangular. Upper triangular, let us call the square part at the top of R as R sub 1. Now, these steps has a cost. We have already considered this, the cost of the QR factorization of a rectangular matrix last time, and we saw that this cost is again roughly n by the square of n. So we have reached a total of 2 plus 1 plus 1 for n by the square of n flops. This shows that the computation of SVD, which has not yet been completed, costs at least 4 times the cost of the QR approach and 8 times the cost of the Cholesky procedure. We were expecting this. We are not surprised. finish the procedure. At this point, let us write the matrix A from this. A is C multiplied by the dimension of Q. But C, the matrix C, is U by R by pi. U R. Pi is a permutation matrix. Transpose it. Well, write again this square matrix using this expression I have forgotten. Q. Let us write again the square matrix, the square matrix, using substituting for A this expression, the dimension of Q twice, the dimension of pi transposed, so take again pi, the dimension of R, the dimension of U. And then you are pi transposed. But we started from the spectral decomposition of H of A versus B. The invertibility of Q, these two expressions both imply that the diagonal matrix B containing the values of this matrix must be equal to I, admission, the product of U. Permission by U is the identity matrix. R. The last step in this derivation. Let us bring the two permutation matrices on the left, and you have pi transposed B pi R H R. Let us observe also that the since R is made this way, where the square matrix was covered by sub 1, is it? The product of these two matrices makes it exactly the product of the square matrices R sub 1 Hermitian and R sub 1. This matrix is again diagonal. If you permute in the same way, in the same permutation, the rows on the left and the columns on the right, of the a generic diagonal matrix, you will obtain again a diagonal matrix. So we see here that the product of these two matrices, which have this structure, gives a diagonal matrix. This is possible if and only if also R, R sub 1, is diagonal. So we realize now that the QR factorization of this matrix with pivots gives us an R factor which is not only upper triangular but also diagonal with a property of this special strategy in performing the QR composition is that the entries over the diagonal, along the diagonal of R, are non-negative in decreasing order. This matrix is also diagonal, so we have that over R sub 1, we have just the singular values of A. Why? Because at this point you can write A as U, the matrix R, which has this property, diagonal with no negative diagonal entries in decreasing order. So it is a sigma matrix. Here we have the singular values. And finally, the product of this permutation matrix by the unitary matrix QH, which make the third factor of the SVD factorization. This is U, sigma, and this is UH. So we have found this is the SVD. We stress again the fact that the cost is about 4 and so even if all these steps are give stability guarantees the procedure, the computation is very heavy. But there is another property very useful in many applications, and in applying this property we can reduce this complexity. This property regards the so-called truncated SVD decomposition. Last time we remarked that one of the properties of the SVD decomposition is that it allows us to write the matrix A as the sum of rank one matrices. How many? Just the number of non-zero singular values, so the index I goes from 1 to k. K is the last non-zero singular value, the index of the last non-zero singular value. So we have singular values ordered until sigma sub k. Taming sigma values, sigma sub k plus 1, and so on, until the last sigma sub n. We suppose that they are all zero. So this sum can be dropped to the index k, and we express, using the SVD factorization, the matrix as in a unique way as with regard to the values sigma as the sum of rank 1 matrices. The matrix has rank k, and we have just k rank 1 matrices. We observe that we could obtain an approximation of A by retaining only the largest singular values. This is exactly the idea underlying the definition of truncated SVD. We give the definition. Of what? Of the matrix obtained from the SVD, the composition of a given matrix A, setting to zero the last singular matrix. So you have this is a strict quality. As we go. Like the integer R, index R, less than K, and we define A sub R as the matrix obtained by the same singular vectors, the same right singular vectors as before, substituting for sigma a new diagonal, matrix sigma sub R, obtained as I told before. By considering, by retaining only the dominant sigma sub 1, sigma sub r singular values, and setting to zero the left entries over the diagonal. So we have the SVD, the composition of another matrix. In general, A and A sub R are not the same matrices. Moreover, we see immediately that the rank of this matrix, A sub R, is exactly R, where the rank of the original matrix instead was K, the last non-zero singular values. This matrix is called J truncated as VD approximation of AD. It's important to specify the rank truncated rank R as VD approximation of A. All this is clear, but there is a characterizing property of this matrix, which is the following. There is a theorem which states a nice property of the truncated SVD approximation. The property is this. The truncated SVD approximation A sub R is the closest in using the two norms, D and norm, rank R matrix, the closest to the given matrix A. Among all the matrices having the prescribed rank R. This can be written in a more correct way in this form. The minimum of the two norm, or the distance, the difference between A and B, where B is a generic rank R matrix, so S is the set of M by M matrices having rank R, the minimum order of this set is exactly given by the norm is the two norm, is given by the truncated SVD. We sketch the proof. We sketch the proof, which is the following. We start from the two SVD decompositions, the one of A and the one of R of A sub R. So we have A U by sigma by the emission of E. A sub R U, the truncation of sigma truncated, as we can find it. How can we prove the existence and the value of a minimum? It can be added that this minimum has value sigma sub R plus 1, the first dropped singular value. How can a minimum be proven? In two steps. One, first step, we will prove that the two norm of the difference between these two matrices is this, attains this value. Second step, for any matrix B in S, the norm of the difference, not smaller than greater or equal to this. So in these two steps we will see that this is the minimum value of the norm and that it is attained in the truncated SVD approximation. The first point is easy to show because it is sufficient to use the two decomposition we can put as factors U on the left and V emission on the right, and in the middle the difference between sigma and sigma sub r. You know perfectly that the product of a matrix by unitary matrices leaves unchanged the two norm. So this norm is equal to the norm of the difference between the two diagonal matrices. But this difference diagonal matrices, when you consider the difference, we have all zeros in the leading R positions, singular values in these positions, and the singular values of the second matrix in the same positions are equal, so they cancel, and are left only in this piece of diagonal, the eigenvalues, the sigma values, sorry, from the first is in position r plus 1 till the last. The two norm of the diagonal matrix is given by, in general, by the largest, the modulus of the largest diagonal entry. Here we have real non-negative value, so they are ordered in decreasing order, so the two norm is exactly the first of these singular values left. We have shown the first point. The second point, can reason in this way. We start from a generic M by N rectangular matrix B having with rank R. M by N and rank B is exactly R. Some notions, some properties from linear algebra. If this matrix has rank R, then the dimension of the kernel
of B
is given by the number of columns of B, which is n columns of B, minus the rank. Now we consider this kernel is a subspace, is a linear subspace of C to the power n. Now we consider another subspace of this space, C to the power n, generated spanned by the columns of V, columns VB square n by n. We consider the columns from one, from the first one, to the column with index in position r plus 1. So we have V sub 1 and so on till the column in this position. Why? Because in this way we have clearly V is unitary, so its columns are linear independent. We have a subspace with an orthogonal base, well, with dimension, T is clearly equal to the number of these orthonormal vectors. Then, if we consider the intersection of T and the kernel of V, you know that the intersection of two linear subspaces is again a linear subspace. So this is subspace always inside, contained in C to the n. So it must have a dimension. Can we say something about the dimension? Of this subspace. Let us use again elementary properties regarding the dimension of subspaces. You know that if you consider the dimension of the union of T the dimension of the sum, not the union. The union is not in general a linear space. The sum of T which is again a subspace of C to the n. There is a theorem which states that this number is given by the sum of the dimension of T, which is R plus 1, plus the dimension of B, which is exactly n minus R, minus the dimension of this intersection. This is a complicated way to realize that this subspaces that this subspace cannot be the trivial subspace. This sum is R minus R, so we have n plus 1 minus something. Since this sum, we are inside, we are in the complex linear space C to the I, which has dimension n, this expression gives as a value
which has to be smaller than n. This implies that this dimension cannot be zero. This is only the property that is interesting for us in this moment. This dimension, this value, cannot be zero, otherwise we would have here n plus 1, which is impossible. All this is necessary to be sure that there exists a vector z belonging to this intersection I assume we have seen that the dimension is at least one. So a vector, a complex vector z, non-zero z, exists . It is not restrictive to assume that the norm, the two norms, is exactly one. If it is not so, we will normalize Z in such a way to fulfill this condition. Z is a normalized vector, which, and due to the first condition, Z is in T. Z is a linear combination in coefficients alpha sub alpha j, the PDF j is used, j from 1 to t is spanned by these vectors. So we go to 1 to r plus 1. It is a linear combination of the vectors of this basis. Moreover, z is in the kernel, so b multiplied by z multiplied on the left by b makes zero. Let us consider a by z. What we want to prove. We will prove to make it clearer that we will the two norm of difference it has been defined as a maximum over the set of vectors having two norm equal to one. So this value is greater or equal to the norm of difference metrics inside the norm multiplied by the generic vector of norm 1. We pick this particular vector, so b by z makes 0, and only the two norm of a by z is left. Let us write in some way the norm of a by z. Using the SD, the vector A by Z is given by u by sigma by the emission by z. We can write this as sum of the rank one matrices we have written before. So the singular values the singular vectors, the h is in the second, by z. The index goes from 1 to n. But we know that from k plus 1, all the subsequent singular values are 0. So here we can stop. The index k, we already know this. Not only. The sigma, the sigmas are scalars, these are column vectors, these are numbers, scalars, scalars products, scalar products. And when you perform the product to the products, the emissions are I by Z, if I is goes from R plus 2 until K, these scalar products are 0. Why? Because Z is a linear combination of the first R plus 1 columns of V. The columns of V are orthogonal. So here we have some scalar products which are necessarily 0. This means that here we can stop to R plus 1. Because the last scalar products, due to orthogonality reasons, are 0. The last step in this proof, now we consider the norm of this vector. Here we have the two norms of this vector. Well, the two norms of this vector, the square of the two norms is more convenient to be considered, is given by what? Here you see a linear combination of orthonormal vectors U, the columns of the matrix U. So the two norm is the sum of the squares of the moduli of these numbers. So you have the singular values squared by the squares of the moduli of these complex numbers. V scalar z. From 1 to R plus 1. To R plus 1. Okay. We can bound on the right the singular values, the squares of the singular values, and put this bound as a factor with the greatest of them, which is the first square. So all these are less or equal to of these values, and
The sun contains now only the squares of these numbers. A last derivation. Consider one of these numbers, the stellar Z. Remember that Z has been defined in this way. And that the vectors V are orthonormal. So when we consider these scalar products, only one of them is non-zero, and it is the one corresponding to the index j equal to pi. We have simply alpha sub I by that scalar product which has value 1 because V is normalized. So what is left? Simply the square of the first Taylor singular value and the sum of the coefficients alpha sub I from 1 to r plus 1. This sum makes 1. Why? Because we made the assumption, which is used only once till now, we use it again. If Z has non 1, since this scalar product must make 1, this scalar product is also the sum of the squares of the moduli of the coefficients. So this is 1, and we have completed the proof. The closest approximation among all the vertices with the same size and rank R is the truncated SVD. The composition is the approximation obtained by the decomposition, and the minimum is given by this value. So we have also not only the exact determination of the matrix giving the minimum, but also the minimum, and we can estimate the accuracy of the approximation, which is given just from this minimum. Fermiamoci qui per 5-10 minuti, poi completiamo con altri con gli aspetti. Cosa ci resta? Ci resta soltanto da vedere come la SVD serve ad approssimare la soluzione, a ottenere in modo esatto la soluzione del problema lineare minimi quadrati. Ricordiamoci che siamo partiti dai minimi quadrati lineari, e questo è il terzo tipo di approccio alla soluzione di quel problema.